What is your first remembrance living out there?
My first remembrance? I think it was the coyotes. Everybody had a building out there that they kept their hams and so forth, hung a smokehouse. They called them smokehouses, and had windows and doors on it. But one night, the coyotes jumped through the window and were trying to cart off hams and so forth. And the dogs, of course, warned Pop. He always had a 12-gauge shotgun by the back door. And when he chased out there with it, that was all she wrote for those coyotes. He got two of them, and two of them got away.
So you remember that as probably, I don't know how old you would have been, 4 years old or something?
Yeah, I was about 5 years old at that time, yeah.
What did you do as a five-year-old for entertainment out there?
Well, I built my sister. I have to bring my sister in, and she's 5 years older. Mother was cleaning house, cooking, and taking care of everything, and Lois just basically was my surrogate mother. We would go out and play. She'd dress me up like a girl, put lipstick on me and rouge and dresses and high-heeled shoes. I was her live doll. And just loved her to death because we went out and built playhouses and went to the river and walked down the river, which is about a half a mile away, and just did everything that kids do. Mom was satisfied that Lois could take care of me, and she felt safe with it. So
you have fond memories as a young boy out there.
Yes, very, very much so.
Were there trees, lots of trees on the property?
Yes. In fact, the driveway was about, I'm going to say, 100 yards long, and Pop had planted trees on either side of that, and it was a beautiful drive. And then they planted fruit trees, apple trees, peach trees, and so on and so forth. Always had a big garden along the north fence, asparagus, and that would come back every year. We had a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that land still in your family?
No. We had the grandpa went, when he quit farming, he went to preaching in the Methodist church, and then he had to sell the farm for taxes and so forth. And we were homeless. We moved seven times in a year and a half in places where we didn't have to pay rent. And you can imagine some of those places, what they looked. The first place was a reconditioned boxcar down by the river. The boxcar made into three rooms, and seven of us were living in that boxcar.
That's hard to imagine, but we all know what the size of a boxcar is.
Yeah.
How long did you live in that?
Well, I'm going to say probably a year. And we, like I say, we moved six or seven times in the two-year span before we went to Pond Creek.
All right, so your grandfather felt called to preach.
Yes.
And that's why he couldn't maintain the payments on
True.
The ground.
Right.
And if he'd continued to farm, he could have.
That's right.
So that was a pretty major decision for him to make.
It sure was.
And I wonder how that worked with your mother, but she had to be in on this calling as well.
Yes. Well, it was a sad, sad day because this originally was, you know, our home and my mother's home. But he got into financial difficulty and couldn't do anything else.
Was it because of it becoming a minister? Or?
Well, ministers were paid chickens and bread and potatoes and very little cash, if any.
Yeah. So do you remember the day you left that house?
Well, I don't remember too much about that
yeah.
because I was really, really young then.
But you do remember all those moves.
I do remember where we moved across the river into the boxcar.
So what church is he preaching with?
Methodist Church. Yeah, he was a Methodist.
And do you remember him preaching, or is that too young for you?
I remember one time I heard him preach. I only heard him one time. The rest of the time, he was in old Dalhart, Texas, and he was in western Oklahoma and southern Oklahoma, northern Oklahoma. I think he had probably down through his career probably seven different churches.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then your dad and mother all followed him?
Well, no. they were just my grandmother and he.
Yep.
Moved. We stayed on the farm, and then when he sold it, we started moving around as nomads to places where we didn't have to.
That had to be tough on the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when do you start going to school?
Well, I started there when we moved across the river to what we call Bates Place, because that's who owned the place. And there was the Riverdale School there, and that was my first school, and in the first grade. And I didn't finish the year there. We moved before the year was over.
So that would have been a one-room schoolhouse then, I suppose.
A one-room schoolhouse. And my first day, I remember it as clear as day. Of course, all the classes from first grade through 12th grade were all in the same room, segregated by aisles and so forth. And each one of them were given assignments down through the day. Well, my first assignment at this school was a ball of clay. I was supposed to make something out of a ball of clay. Well, I was rolling it on the desk. Part of it was hanging over, and it would look like a dog's tail. And somebody, one of the big guys across the aisle, started laughing. Well, she thought I was doing it on purpose and disturbing class, so she sent me outside. My first day of school, I got disciplined and sent outside. Well, that was a beautiful thing because the swings and the teeter-totter was out there. I was having a good time. But my first day of school, I was sent outside.
Yeah. It's hard to believe for youngsters to think about this one-room schoolhouse, and she had first through 12. Through 12. Yeah. How many do you think were there?
Oh, I'm going to guess probably 15.
So then you did grade school there?
Yes, but it was just, I didn't even finish, I don't think I went through the entire first grade there. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I remember one time, Mrs. Kubik was the teacher. A storm came up about the time school let out, and it started hailing. Well, she had a car with a trunk, and she put three of us in that trunk and took us home, so we didn't have to walk home in the hail.
And how far was that distance?
Well, I had I had 3/4 of a mile or a mile to walk home.
Yeah, that's something that kids probably don't think about today. That,
yeah.
Where do you finish grade school? Where were you then when you were
After we moved around in 1934, 35, whatever it was, we were living in a place, it's hard to tell. When I started at Pond Creek Grade School, we were living 9 miles west of Pond Creek in a farm, in a farmhouse. I walked to school that year, part of that year. And then we moved 4 miles east of Pond Creek across the river, and I was in the second and part of the third grade there. And it was, mile and a half or 2 miles to school.
What about your clothes? I mean, did your mother make the clothes?
Well, she made a lot of our clothes, mainly our shirts. And then she got something like dungaree and made trousers out of those.
And shoes? What did you do for that?
They had to buy the shoes. That was... I had three older brothers, and I didn't own my own shoes until I was 10 years old.
Oh, the hand-downs, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that was probably the most expensive thing that they buy, because she can make other clothes.
Yeah.
She made clothes for all three of the other boys and Lois.
So then you go into middle school or high school? How does that
happen? Well, grade school and junior high and high school were all in the same building. It was a two-story high school, and
so in high school, were you athletically inclined there?
Yes, and I always was, because I learned how to play every kind of ball there is with my brothers, and they took no mercy on me.
And they were quite a bit older than you.
We used to go out in the plowed ground and play tackle football, and my sister played tackle football with us. And she could she could strike a blow, I'll tell you.
So they were 7, 8, and 9 years older than you.
Well, yeah. Merle was born in 17, and Eugene was born in 19.
So you were so young and small, they could use you as a football.
A lot of times they did.
But it was obvious that you were talented athletically, you think, back then?
Yes, and I give most of the credit to my older brothers because they taught me how to kick the ball, how to throw it, and how to take punishment.
So in high school, what did you play?
Well, I played everything. In football, I played quarterback. Actually, we used a single wing, which was an ancient type of football. But I played tailback, which is considered the quarterback in single-wing football. Then I played defensive linebacker. I played both ways, played every game all the way. And I had a helmet that I could fold up and put in my waistband when the game was over. It just had a leather top and some ear flaps. That's all it had.
What about pads?
Well, we had pads, but when we started playing, like in seventh grade, we'd go down to the gymnasium and the coach would dump all the old pads and shoes out from years past that kids had left there. And we'd go in there and find something that fit us. I remember taking my shoulder pads and hip pads home, and Mom would sew them together and sometimes take bedding wire and tie pads onto the shoulder pads and so forth, repair them, for example.
Mm-hmm.